Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on soil, grass, and cancer when we come back. And let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong, terribly wrong, with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools. They're banned from our public institutions. They've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, in our public institutions. We've been taught to make them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and they advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that's teaching this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments and all 759 statutes, judgments, commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that penalty is in order to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, or the Law of God, or the Common Law, or Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic. And it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which happen to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order a free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, best of all, it's free. Now, you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on to our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. All right, last time we were taking a look here at these 19 health laws. I told you that there's 19 laws in the Bible that deal with health. And the reason I'm pretty cocky about 19 is that I have code-pled the entire scripture out from Genesis to Revelation, and I've organized it in alphabetical order. It's called the Mosaic Law School. I can identify every law in the Bible and the penalty for the violation of every law. That's why I mentioned to you last time, see, there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty, because if you had something like that, I mean, if you had an abortion like a broken law without a penalty, you wouldn't have a law. You would have a suggestion. And this guy that wrote the scripture now that calls himself God, you know, he's not out here making suggestions. He's telling you this is where the bear does it. This is where the rubber meets the road. Now, sometimes I get letters here and people say, you know, you are really crude and you are insensitive, politically incorrect. Hell, I never denied it. I didn't come here to argue with people. I came here to deliver a message. Let me tell you. Let me explain this to you. And that's because the preachers aren't telling us. The politicians are lying to us. And the scientists over here are on the take. You know, somebody ought to wake up here one of these days and say, hey, let's look at where reality's at. And the guy that wrote this book here called Soil, Grass, and Cancer is telling you this is where disease begins. This is why you people are sick. It's because your soil is sick. You can't have healthy bodies from sick soil. That's dumb on its face. The doctors aren't going to tell you. Hell, the doctor makes money from sick people, not people that are well. If the doctor told you how to stay well, he would be cutting his own financial lifeline. That's why doctors don't tell you that there's a cure to diabetes. Now, I pointed this out to you the other day, you know, a little earlier on. We got diabetes, and there's a cause for that. It's zinc deficiency. Now, the guy here that wrote the book, Soil, Grass, and Cancer, took this information from science where they've already demonstrated that. See, we've been out dinking around here with cows, you know, for the last 100 years. We've been using cows and sheep and horses and everybody, you know, all these animals, and they get sick. And we got to have some cheap, inexpensive way to heal them. And the way we do that is by giving them nutrients. So I pointed out to you, you got 92 nutrients out here. And then if you don't have any one of those 92, you'll develop one of the 450 symptoms that you find in the physician's desk reference. That's just kind of elementary. Now, God comes along and he says, hey, listen, let me give you some laws. Don't eat fat, don't eat blood, don't eat unclean meat, and you'll live a lot longer. And we eat fat, we eat blood, and we eat unclean meat, and we die young, and we get debilitating diseases. And we can't figure out what the hell's going on. Well, the doctors aren't telling, the politicians are lying, and the scientists over here are on the take. So now somebody needs to come along here and say, well, let me explain this to you. And so I just thought, well, I'll tell you where the bear does it. Now, when we broke off last time, we were talking about sanitation, and I closed, and I said, you people up in Des Moines, flush your toilets down the Mississippi River for the people in St. Louis to drink. Now, in order for the people in St. Louis to drink that toxic waste, they've got to purify it. So you people purify it up in Des Moines, and then the people down in St. Louis, they purify it again, and they put fluoride and chlorine in it. Now, this fluoride and chlorine are deadly poisons. Now, they're not giving you enough of it to kill you today, but they're giving you enough of it over a long period of time it's going to kill you. And this chlorine gives you arterial sclerosis. What that is hardening of the arteries. And so, you know, you got to have the chlorine in the water. Hell, I don't deny that. What in the hell are you people in St. Louis going to do if you don't put chlorine in your water? You're going to die from typhoid fever or cholera or something. But if you put the chlorine in the water, you're going to die from arterial sclerosis. In neither case are you going to make it to 70. So we need to have a more intelligent solution to this. Now, you can purify your water without those poisons. You can do it with ozone. They do it in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Paris, France, and in Moscow. Now, you're probably not going to do that. And when you people take a shower in St. Louis, you're showering, and your body's biggest single organ is your skin. And you want to shower with hot water, so that opens the pores and lets this water in, lets these toxins into your body. So you're bathing in the stuff, you're drinking the stuff, you're cooking the stuff, you're eating the stuff. This is called chlorine in the water, and it's killing you. And it's giving you a disease. And that's because we're violating the sanitation laws. Now, if we were doing this right, we would not flush that waste down the Mississippi River. We would bury it in the ground, which is where it belongs. It makes fertilizer, it's organic material, and we ought to be burying. Over in the Far East, they call it night soil. Night soil. Now, I can understand you people in Des Moines saying, well, I don't want to carry a pot out in the backyard. I'm not suggesting that you can't use your toilet. I just said that now when you get through with the sewage treatment plant, you take all that sludge and all that garbage out there, and you take it out here and you put it on the soil, put it on the land, and let the bacteria and the microbes and the rest of it break it down and use it up. And put flushing your waste down the river for the next guy to drink. And then God gave us a statute here. He said, bury it. Don't flush it down your rivers. Come on, wake up. Smell some coffee here. If I lived in St. Louis, I'd get the hell out of there. I'm not going to drink sewer water from Des Moines, for crying out loud. If you people want to do that, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But doesn't sound like a good practice to me. Let's try leprosy over here, chapter 72. Let me back up here a little bit. We got four more things over here we want to cover. Leprosy, disease, sickness, and plague, and running issues. That's three. They all kind of dovetail together, but there's some distinctions that come from them. Now, leprosy is a contagious disease. It's an old-timey disease called Hansen's disease today, but in the old days, and your digits rot off. You know, your skin gets white. And this is like a plague, a sickness, a disease. So when we're looking here, back up here to number 31, we got a chapter in here that deals with disease, sickness, and plague. If you want to know where a lot of this comes from, it comes from God himself. And he says, I will lay none of these diseases upon you that are laid upon the Egyptians. And things like the bubonic plague and the fever and the inflammation, things like that. And he mentions this in Deuteronomy 26. He says, here's what I'm going to do to you. So I'm going to pull out my Bible here. Look up chapter 26. This is Leviticus 26. And it's around chapter, or verse 15, 16, 17, along in there. Let me see if I'm right. He says, but if you will not hearken unto me and will do not all of these commandments, and you will not do all these commandments, if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgment so that you won't do them, or do all of my commandments, then here's what I'm going to do to you when you break my covenant. I will appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemy shall eat it. He talks about disease. I'm going to put these diseases upon you. So if you want to know why a lot of diseases come about, well, it's because God himself has sowed it among us. There's a number of examples of this in the scripture. For instance, in, First Samuel or Second Samuel 24. Second Samuel about chapter 24. David, King David, nice guy that he was, he went out and he instituted a census. Come to think of it, we've got a census coming up here right now. So I'm going to flip over here to Second Samuel chapter 24. I'm pretty sure that's where it's at. And when he instituted this census over here, God sent a plague upon the people. Yeah, here it is. So the Lord sent, this is verse 13, or 15, right? He says, so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 men. Hey, you know, I didn't write that, so don't get mad at me. I'm just here as a reporter telling you that oftentimes these diseases are sent by God himself for the violation, the criminal behavior that we display. You know, you want to go out here and break the law. Penalty then is sickness and disease. Now, in Exodus 15, verse 26, the same God here says, now, I'm the God that healed you. Let me flip over to that, 15:26. And then he tells us here that if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal, your God, and if you will do that which is right in his sight, and if you will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. I am the Eternal that healeth thee. So now he tells you pretty plainly, he says, I brought these diseases upon the Egyptians. And I won't bring any of those diseases upon you if you practice my law. But if you don't, I'm going to bring these diseases upon you. So if you want to know why we've got Alzheimer's disease and ADHD and autism and sudden infant death syndrome, it's because we're criminals and we're violating the law, and our God now is laying it on us. And he told us that's what I'm going to do. And so my common sense says, hey, listen, you know, maybe we ought to wake up and smell a coffee here. Quit doing that. Now, the guy that wrote the book here, Soil, Grass, and Cancer, now, he's not going to preach a sermon. He's not going to tell you that you got to practice land Sabbaths and Jubilees, but he's going to tell you that the reason that you've got these diseases running around in your country over here is because you got sick soil. And this sick soil over here has a connection with cancer. Now, I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute here when we get to cancer. But at the outset here, the Eternal will take away from you all sickness and will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt, which you have known, upon you, but will lay upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Eternal your God shall deliver to thee. And your eye shall have no pity upon them, and neither shall you serve their gods. The Eternal will make the pestilence cleave unto you, this is in Deuteronomy 28, until he has consumed you from off the land where you go in to possess it, and the Eternal will smite you with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning. So now if we won't be reformed by this, well, then at some point in time, it's going to get worse. He says in Leviticus 26, says, I'm going to lean on you about seven times harder. I'll punish you seven times more for your sin. Now, sin is the transgression of the law. And when you have a law that says don't eat fat, practice land Sabbaths, practice jubilees, and you violate these laws, well, then the natural result of that is sickness and disease. And one of these is called the running issue. Another is called leprosy. And a third is called disease, sickness, and plague. Now, leprosy is one of these running issues. If you've got an open sore and it's leaking out, cancer is like that. You know, I had cancer one time here on my jaw, and God, it was a stinking mess. I hated that. But I got to concede, I got to tell you, you know, I caused that myself. I'm the one that did it. I did it to myself, gave myself cancer. And then I had this lump on my jaw, and so I had to do something about that, and so I put Indian black salve on it, and by golly, it ate it out. And it was a running issue. Now, here's where the sanitation law comes in. You got to deal with that wisely. You can't just let that rotten pus, you know, just drop around all over the place. You got to keep that thing cleaned out. You got to stay on top of that. That's what sanitation is all about. You got to separate yourself from other people so that you don't give them some kind of disease or plague. And so I've often said, you know, if there's any way that you can avoid cancer, by all means, do it. Now, if you've got cancer, you know, past tense, well, okay, now you're in the soup. You got to do something about it now. Now, cancer is curable, and all of these diseases are curable. There's only one thing that you can't cure. Now, when you get a disease like Lou Gehrig's disease, and what's happening there is the myelin sheath that's covering your nerve endings is being destroyed. And when that sheath is destroyed, you have nerve damage, and you can't cure that. Now, if you can do it, well, then you're a step ahead of everybody else, because I don't know of anybody that can do that. But all these other diseases that come up, like cancer and muscular dystrophy and heart disease and so on down the line, all that can be cured. Diabetes, you know, all that can be cured. Now, if you get this nerve disease, you got to get right on top of that. The minute somebody tells you that you've got Lou Gehrig's disease, you've got to move with dispatch. You've got to detoxify. You've got to start feeding your body. You've got to get your immune system up and running and stop that thing dead. Because if you don't, it'll continue to progress until it destroys all of your nerves, and then pretty soon you've got anything to work with. It's like the doctors, you know, what they want to do is cut out your lymph system and cut your breasts off and cut out your immune system. Hell, once you've destroyed your immune system, there ain't any hope for you now. So, you know, when somebody says, well, we got to cut out your immune system, hey, hang on a second. Let's get a second opinion over here. Now, my wife has had cancer now for 30 years plus, and she's dealt with it organically. She's dealt with it systematically. She's worked with her body, detoxified, used the Gerson program. She uses vitamins and minerals. She'll probably die with cancer. We hope she doesn't die from it, but, you know, she's going to die with cancer. It's the breaks of the game. Once you've got it, you've got it. Now I've got it, and I'm going to die with it. I hope I don't die from it. And so if you can avoid it, you know, by all means do that. The last story over here, after we get through these running issue kind of things, you know, like leprosy. Number 127 deals with whores. Now, the girls down at Flo's, you know, they're just doing their job, and I don't deny that. But those girls are disease packers. You know, when some guy comes in there with a disease and he lays with that whore, and then you come in and you lay with that whore, you know the diseases are transmitted through these body fluids. Females have body fluids, males have body fluids, and those disease pathogens, you know, are in those body fluids, and you're in there. You know, you'd be better off if you just stuck with your wife or your husband, and you don't go around experimenting with everybody else's body fluids. I mean, let's test this out for a site. For an example here. You go in here and you want to drink water out of a drinking fountain. You don't put your mouth down on it, do you? I mean, if I was drinking a bottle of Coke and I handed it to you and I said, here, take a swig, would you want to drink after me? After my lips, after my saliva has been on that bottle, you want to drink that after I do? You want to experiment with my body fluids, do you? Well, let me tell you, I don't want to experiment with yours. I don't want to find out what kind of diseases you got or might have. And that's what you're doing when you go down here to the whore. You don't know what the hell diseases she's got, who she's been sleeping with. And then you're liable to find out, and you're probably going to be saddened by it. Now, I've run across two people, you know, that have had, not leprosy, it's what's that, gonorrhea, syphilis, had syphilis. And then that syphilis, it gets in and it destroys the cartilage in your body. And you got cartilage in your nose, cartilage in your ears. Well, this thing attacked these two people's nose and the cartilage, you know, in your face. It looks pretty damn ugly, you know, when your nose rots off. It was a lady down at the Harrison Apartments in Oakland, California. The second guy was up in Oric, California. He was selling burls. And their noses had rotted off their face. That's what syphilis does. And so tuck that one away in your heart. You need to have pictures. You know, we need to be putting pictures up, you know, in the public hallways in our public schools and say, you know, you want to practice a little free sex. Here's what happens when you get syphilis. And then show them, you know, somebody that's had their nose rot off. And once your nose is gone, I guess we could replace it with plastic surgery, but, you know, it would be a hell of a lot handier if you could just hang on to the nose you were born with, don't you think? All right, now with that out of the way, let me flip over here to the last chapter of the book. The conclusion. This is where I usually start my book. When I want to read a book, I start with the last chapter. In this case, it'd be chapter 66, From Grass to the Protective Medicine of Tomorrow. And the reason I do that is I can see the answer to the riddle, and then we'll take a look at the problem. Now, this guy's got an answer. He says, the dust of the soil control the metabolism of the cells. The health of the cells in your body, you got about a trillion of them, and the health of all of those cells are dependent upon the dusts or the minerals that we're getting out of our soils. Grass made it possible to obtain a biochemical photograph of the soil, showing clearly that the mineral elements of the soil control cell metabolism in the animal, and consequently also the latter's vigor and health. On pursuing this study further, it was found that the dusts of the soil likewise control the proper functioning of the cells in man. Thanks to grass, therefore, the great importance of the health of the soil for the health of man has now been revealed. Now, you know, you think of grass as being that green stuff, you know, that cows eat. Well, listen, all of the grains are grass. So when we're talking about wheat, corn, barley, rye, that's grass. And we're not eating the grass, we're eating the grains that come from it. Now, these grains cannot have any nutrients in them unless there's nutrients down in the soil. And so going out here and putting chemical fertilizers on the soil grows grass. Oh, God, does it grow grass. I'm going to tell you a little story here. I had a guy come down here as a pig farmer from Iowa. He came through school, and he was telling a story there about a ConAgra ration. It had 6% protein. Now, they thought that it had 9% protein, but when they tested it, it only had 6%. And what had happened was ConAgra bought a lot of corn, and they brought it in, and they tested corn, and it tested 9%. And so they advertised it at 9%, but they got a bunch in, mixed it in with it, that only had about 5% or 6%. Now, why does this corn have such a low protein content? Now, corn, when it's grown in good, nutritious soil, produces about 16% protein. And this stuff is down at 6%. And his pigs died. They were big, healthy, fat pigs, and they just fell over dead. So they sent him off to the university and autopsied him, and they had a lot of hoopla going on there. And pretty soon they came back and said, well, these pigs, here's why they're dying. They're dying of protein deficiency. Protein deficiency. And they're just falling over dead. And so they had to boost the ration. So they got busy, and they boosted the ration from 6 to 8%, and then the pigs finished out and sold them, and everything's fine. Now, what do you think is going to happen when human beings get to the point where they've got protein deficiency? You see what happens here? You get diseases. You get symptoms. And then some doctor, you know, he's a pretty smart guy, goes to college, and he comes in and says, my God, you've got rickets. You see, you got scurvy. And they hang some label on this. It's copyrighted and patented, you know, and then they say, well, now we're going to give you patent medicine here for this. And he's making money, and he's happy as a clam, and you're happy because he's got a name for it. If he said, well, you're sick. Well, hell, doc, I knew that when I came in. I knew I was sick. Now, what I need to know is, what is my sickness? And he says, oh, you have Hansen's disease. You have muscular dystrophy. You have Parkinson's disease. You have Lou Gehrig's disease. See, we all feel better when we can identify the disease. I don't know why. It doesn't cure it. But we all feel better. I guess maybe we feel better because we're spending money for these tests. And by God, we want to know, we got to have a name for this. So they've given us these names. Now, they don't have cures, but they have treatments. The cure to your disease is the food that you eat. That's just that simple. You got diabetes and you want to cure it, you need to eat food that's got zinc. And you've got scurvy, and then you want to cure it, you need to eat food that's got vitamin C. Now, oftentimes, the diseases that you develop affect somebody else. So when your baby is born with a cleft palate, oh my God, mothers, it's your fault. You're the ones that did that. And then if I remember right, it's a zinc deficiency. Don't quote me on that, but I think it was zinc. When your baby was in his development stage, and I don't know what day it is, but they've done this, Emily, they can tell you what that baby is developing on day 1, 2, 5, 9, 11, 37, 39, 52, 56. And there was a day when that palate had to be closed up and it had to have zinc, and you didn't have any zinc in your body at that moment in time, like a car going down the assembly line goes past the battery station, and there's no batteries. And they don't put a battery in the car because they don't have any to put in it. And your baby can't have any zinc to put into his cleft palate to seal it up because you don't have any in your body. I mean, hell, you know, we're not talking rocket science here. You don't have to have a degree, you know, from college. You have to have building materials. And so, like the car, you know, it's going to end up at the end of the assembly line. Somebody's going to get in it and try to start it, and nothing happens, and they say, well, in the hell, this car don't start. They'll open the hood and say, well, it don't start because there's no battery in it. Well, how come there was no battery? This car is faulty now. It's got a birth defect. And it's because way back up the assembly line, when it was time to put the batteries in, they ran out of batteries. When this baby was going through its development stage and it needed this zinc to close up its cleft palate, there wasn't any available. So he had to continue on through the development process with his palate open. So he gets born at the end of the assembly line, and there it is. Just ugly as sin. It's not the baby's fault. The baby didn't do that. It was the mother that did that. Somebody going to say, well, I didn't know. I'm just sorry as hell. I didn't know. What in the hell are you getting pregnant for when you're that damn dumb? You know, they send you to school, and they're supposed to be teaching you something over there, and I guess they're teaching you how to have sex with the boys, but they're not teaching you how to have babies, and that's what girls are for, you know? In case you didn't know that, girls are there to have babies. Last time I heard. And if you're going to have healthy babies, then you got to have a healthy body, and if you're going to get pregnant, you know, then you got to have the material there to build a complete baby. Hey, we're at the halfway point here. Let me give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not state schools and all. The law school is a private, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. We need to keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally in agreement here with the Law Hour and editorial review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views or the beliefs or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management or staff of this radio network or this local radio station. So don't blame them, you know, when you get mad and say that guy's insensitive. It isn't the station's, me. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, let me bring the connecting link here in this last half hour that we've got here with cancer. In the book, remember we're looking at Soil, Grass, and Cancer by Andre Voisin, and you can get a copy of it from Acres, USA. This is Acres, USA, Post Office Box 91299 in Austin, Texas, and the zip code is 78709. Telephone number down there is 512-892-4400. Phone number again, 512-892-4400. The Post Office Box again is 91299, Austin, Texas, 78709. While you're at it, spend $27 and get a subscription to an annual subscription to the Acres USA magazine. You'll be delighted with it, I guarantee it. Looking up here at the table of contents, the author here puts a connecting link with goiter and cancer of organs other than your thyroid. What protects against cancer does not necessarily cure it. Close correlation between the nature of the soil and stomach cancer in whales. The soil controls the frequency of cancer in Holland. And cancer is less frequent on calcareous areas of different types of soils. And excessive soil moisture favors cancer. Filtered river water used for drinking favors the development of cancer. And then the relationship between goiter and cancer from the geographical and climatic point of view. And when cancer is studied in the soil, forgotten, and from grass to the protective medicine of tomorrow. Now, I covered this thing of when cancer is studied in soil, forgotten. If you'll remember, the Navajo Indians don't get cancer. They tested 60,000 of them. I think they came up with 200 or so cases of cancer out of 60,000. You know, it's practically unheard of. Not quite as good as the Jews with penile cancer, but, you know, certainly right up there in that league. So cancer, then, is a deficiency disease. Deficiency disease. You're starving to death. That's primarily the cause of cancer. You're lacking something. Now, it's also true that carcinogens come into play. And so, you know, the medical guys, they come around and say, well, oh my God, you were smoking cigarettes. Well, now hang on a second. There's a lot of people that smoke cigarettes and don't get cancer. My grandmother smoked camel studs from age 18. Now, she was born in 1882. So she started smoking at age 18 in 1900. Now, she smoked until 1967. She smoked a pack of camel studs every day of her life for 67 years. I never thought of this before, but how many packs of cigarettes is that? That's 67. 67 times 365. Jesus, my granny smoked 24,455 packages of cigarettes. Oh my God, how many cigarettes is that? Times 20. She smoked 489,100 cigarettes, nearly 500,000 cigarettes in her life. And you want to know something? My granny never had cancer. Never got cancer. Kind of like I told you a couple programs back, I said, you know, when I test this, you know, you got an immune system. And you walk into a room with 100 people in it, and you got one guy in there, and he's got H1N1. He's just sneezing and coughing, and he's just spreading germs all over the party. Well, only 20% of the people in the party are going to get sick. The other 80%, their immune system is going to fight that off. And that's what we've got here. We've got an immune system that fights this cancer off. So even though my granny was smoking all that cigarettes, you know, all those cigarettes, she never came down with cancer. Now, she did have a stroke. That did her in. She had a stroke. She finally died. She didn't die from the stroke. She just died of old age. She had a stroke. Died of old age. She's about 88. Grand old lady that she was. tough as nails. Now, she had some things working for her that the rest of us don't. For instance, when she was born back in 1882, she had clean air, clean water, and clean food. And she ate it, and she was healthy. She didn't get into bad food, you know, until the 1950s and 60s, that, you know, when things started really getting bad. Now, today, those of us that are born in this period of time from the 50s on, I mean, we've been born and bred and raised and nurtured on this bad food. Now we're coming down with this, GMO. We not only have it hybrid food, but now we've got GMO food. Now we're sticking needles into our kids, and we're pumping them full of mercury and all kinds of toxins, snake venom and monkey pus, called vaccines. Now, if you've been one of those, you know, you're in pretty poor health. So it's not surprising that you know, you've got allergies and all kinds of diseases. I'm going to get a cough drop out here. Just hang on a sec. So I don't cough in the microphone here. Well, now, the connecting link here with cancer comes into play. Cancer is primarily a degenerative disease, they call it. Degenerative. You're starving to death. You've been filled full of all these chemicals and toxins, poisons. Your body's weak, and your immune system doesn't work good. And then we start feeding you with more of this bad food like GMOs. And then we lace it real good with all things like sodium nitrite and sodium nitrate, a couple more deadly. Then we bathe in chlorine. And then we suck in a bunch of fluoride. And all these people are telling us about all these great health benefits. You know, they're telling us that the reason we're putting chlorine in your water is so you don't die from cholera. Putting fluoride in your water so your teeth don't rot out. Putting sodium nitrite in your Oscar Mayer weenie. That's so that you don't get some terrible disease, you know, like salmonella. Starting to get the drift here where we're going? These are all health measures. These poisons that we're putting in here, this is for your health. They'll make you real healthy. Now, we start developing allergies, and then we graduate to things like muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and some other degenerative disease. And then we go to the doctor, and he says, well, we've got to have all these tests and put you on these drugs, and all these drugs over here now are more poisons. And people my age, you know, 65 and older, are on an average of 6 prescription drugs each. Yep, that's right. See, today I should be taking 6 prescription drugs. I ain't taking so much as a damn aspirin. I wouldn't take a damn aspirin. And I can still see, I can still hear, and I can still work. Albeit diminished, but still work. And I'm going to keep after it. But every generation is getting weaker and weaker. Our soil is getting weaker and weaker. Our food's getting weaker and weaker. Our bodies are getting weaker and weaker. And we're getting sicker and sicker. So now if you want to turn that around, there's a way to do that. And you start with the soil. Now, there's other people out there growing. So, you know, if you're sitting there saying, well, but I don't want to grow this stuff. Okay, I want to buy it from somebody that does. And that's called organic. And the place to get onto the organic program is with Acres USA. That's the place to start right there, Acres USA. And then the second place here is to get a connection with this book, Soil, Grass, and Cancer, that I just reviewed for you. And then when you get through with it, it'll tell you a story that all these diseases over here, no big mystery. And furthermore, now that we know what causes these diseases, now we can cure them. That's why I took a couple of chapters out of here. We took a look at magnesium. We took a look at copper. And if you've got diabetes, that's fine. You've got a zinc deficiency. And as you go through these 66 chapters, you're going to find out you've got a lot of other deficiencies. And we've tested this with animals. So this is the way we solve the problem with cows, sheep, pigs, and goats. And this is the way we're going to solve the problem with people. Now, if you think you're going to go into McDonald's and you're going to eat that crap and then go out here and go to the doctor and he's going to give you some kind of a magic pill over here, you know, dream on. And this isn't a diatribe against McDonald's. McDonald's is serving white bread on their buns, same as everybody else is serving white bread. Have you thought about maybe buying whole grain or whole wheat bread? You know, like that Ezekiel 4:7 bread or something like that. Now, I know that McDonald's is sitting over there saying, well, we don't want to upset the apple cart. We're not going to introduce brown bread on our hot dogs or on our hamburgers. But do you know that if you went into McDonald's and you said, I'd like to have a Big Mac with Ezekiel 4:7 bread on it, and they would say to you, well, I'm sorry, sir, but we don't have any Ezekiel 4:7 bread, but we've got Wonder white buns. And if you said to that girl, well, I'll tell you what, sweetheart, if you ever come up with Ezekiel 4:7 bread, I'd like to come in here and eat a hamburger. But until you do, I'm not going to do that. turn around, walk out of there. And do you know what would happen if every customer that went into McDonald's said, I'd like to have a hamburger, but I'd like to have it with Ezekiel 4:7 bread? And then every one of you just walked out. Do you know how long it would take McDonald's to serve hamburger with Ezekiel 4:7 bread? It wouldn't take them a week. Those people at McDonald's are business people, and by God, it wouldn't take them a week. In fact, if all of you people wanted to have it, you turn that thing around, and pretty soon some guy walks in and says, I'd like to have a hamburger with white bread. I'm sorry, sir, we only serve it with Ezekiel 4:7 buns, baked by the Wonder Bakers. Now, if you went in there and you said, I'd like to have a lean hamburger, I'd like to have a hamburger with no fat. Well, I'm terribly sorry, sir, all of our hamburger has 30% fat. Well, ma'am, if you can ever get a hamburger in here that doesn't have any fat in it, I'd be happy to buy one from you and turn around and walk out. And everybody does the same thing. Do you know how long it would take McDonald's to serve hamburger without fat? It wouldn't take them a week. A week. Do you know how long it would take Armorstar and Swift to produce hamburger with no fat? A week. I mean, those people are business people. They're not dumb. They know how to do that. The reason we have fat in our hamburgers and white bread and bad food, it's because that's what we want to buy. And they are simply serving to us that which we want to buy, or that which we haven't got the gumption to tell them we ain't eating that crap. That's how simple that is. All right, now let me flip over here to this chapter 66 again, because a couple of points I wanted to make for you. Diseases are created chiefly by destroying the harmony among the elements of the soil. And what must never be forgiven or forgotten is that diseases are created chiefly by destruction of the harmony that exists between the soil elements. And the great tragedy of modern techniques is the complete disruption of this harmony by new cultural methods. Carl Jaspers was a professor of philosophy at Heidelberg University. And then he had a term for that. And he said, this demoni, or demon, brings its ravages to bear above all on the soil, the very basis of human life. And it will be the task of all agronomists, veterinarians, and medical scientists of tomorrow to apply their skill to reestablishing the harmony in the soil that this demon has destroyed. Now, we can carry this up a little bit further. You know, if the McDonald's people were to say to the Swift people, we only want hamburger with no fat in it, the Swift people would then go to the farmers and tell them, we ain't buying them fat cattle. We only want to buy buffalo and cattle without body fat. It would change the entire breeding program of cattlemen all over America. All of a sudden, Charolais, Whiteface, and Black Angus cows would disappear. In the meantime, all of the fat would be trimmed off of those animals. Mexicans would be hired and imported to come in here with knives to cut the fat off in the butchering plants, in the transition. There'd be such a demand for dairy cattle and Jersey cows and buffalo and cows that have low body fat that before long there'd be a transformation. If the people of America walked in to their local supermarket and said, by the way, I'm in here to buy Oreo cookies without any hydrogenated vegetable oil. Do you have any cookies without hydrogenated oil? When you ask for something, when you walk in the door and they look around, they say, well, but we don't have that. Okay. Well, then I don't want to buy what you have here. What I want to buy is cookies without hydrogenated oil. And when you get those in here, I want to come back and buy them. And then it requires, you know, people out there that are making demands. Now, here in America, about 12% of the people of this country are into organic foods. In fact, it's the biggest growth sector in the food business in America. And the big corporations are getting into it. They are, the big corporations. Even in Walmart now, they've got organic food. You know, not very much, but they've got a little bit. That's pretty damn significant. And what's happening? It's a step in the right direction. Now, the Hain's Celestial Group, they went to Congress and they said, well, because we're manufacturing all of this non-organic food, and we're manufacturing organic food, when we shift over, you know, from one to the other, sometimes we're going to get some inorganic in with the organic. So we want you to let us label our food 95% organic. Now, I'll tell you, as a purist, what I'd like to do, when I see a package, you know, in a health food store, something says 95% organic, I tell the lady in the health food store, when you have 100% organic, I'll buy it, and until you do, I won't. That sends a pretty strong message to the people in the store that we're not going to tolerate that kind of crap. And if the people in the store that are buying this from Hain's Celestial Group says to their representative, well, my customers won't buy 95% organic. It's either organic or it isn't. We don't have 95% pregnant women. They're either pregnant or they're not. And so it won't take Hain's Celestial Group long to clean up their act, clean up their machinery, and produce 100%. It's just a matter of how much can they stick up our hind end sideways and get away with it. That's what it really boils down to. How much will we tolerate? And if the answer is, well, yeah, we'll tolerate 5% inorganic food, that's how much they'll put in. Then they'll move it up to 10. Well, if these people take 10%, then won't they take 15? And if they'll take 15, won't they take 20, 25, 30, 35, 40? You know, it's either you're going to do it my way or it's the highway. That's the way I see it. So I tell them, you know, when I walk in the health food store, I was in a clothing store one day, and I said, I'd like to buy some Levi's here. And he said, well, we don't carry Levi's, but we carry this other brand over here. I said, well, that's fine. You know, Levi's are Levi's, whether they're made by Levi or somebody else. So I looked at the label, and I said, well, look at this. Why, these pants are 99% cotton and 1% nylon. And he looked at the label, and he said, well, I didn't know that. And I said, well, now you do. And he said, not very many people look at the label. I said, well, I do. And I said, now show me some 100% cotton pants. And we started looking, and he couldn't find any. And he said, well, I didn't know that. I said, well, now you do. And he said, well, it's only 1%. And I said, well, in Leviticus 19, verse 19, it says, you shall not let a garment of diverse material come upon you, such as linen and wool or something like that. And I said, now this one's 99% pure, but it's 1% unpure, and I won't buy it because I want 100%. And you either got it or you don't. And I walked out of the store. I didn't like that. Got that? Sent him a message, didn't I? And you know what I did? I went into another store and I bought Levi's that were 100% cotton. See how simple that is? And the guy missed the sale. Why did he miss it? He missed it because he didn't have the right product. So tuck that one away in your heart. You got more power than you give yourself credit for. Hey, I'm out of time again, so I'm going to have to give you a reminder here that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. I've got to leave it right there. Hey, we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then.